Track 11, Clayland Connection. Norfolk Wildlife Trust Ambassador Nick Aitchison on a new initiative to help one of the county's oldest landscapes.
We humans, short-lived, forward-facing, terrestrial animals as we are, have a limited understanding of landscape. Now, landscape is a multidimensional thing beginning deep beneath the earth and millions of years ago with bedrock. Sometimes, as with granite, this bedrock was forged by violent forces. Sometimes, as in the slow-motion deposition of the chalk on which we sit in Norfolk, it was formed so peaceably as to be imperceptible. Often, great events like earthquakes, floods, ice sheets, or even meteorites stirred sediments or moved them hundreds of miles, adding complexity and nuance to the surface of the earth. Next comes the collision of the geosphere and biosphere that we call soil. From below, the bedrock is ground down by time and weather into substrate, while from above, it's enriched by fungi, bacteria, plants and animals, alive and dead, creating the biological powerhouse so easily dismissed as soil. Climate is critical too. In Norfolk, typically, we experience bitter eastern winds in the winter, while much of the Atlantic spring and summer rain has petered out before the west wind reaches us. We are cold in winter, but relatively hot and dry in summer, meaning species of the eastern steppes persist here and nowhere else in Britain. We humans are also drivers of the landscape, in many cases catastrophically. After the fading of the ice sheets in the Devonian glaciation ended 12,000 years ago, Britain and our land bridge with the continent were slowly filled with scrub and forest, marsh and river, with aurochs, wolf and lynx. Into this dynamic wilderness came our distant ancestors, eventually bringing crops and livestock, both requiring land. From the Stone Age, our ancestors began to fell the forest, and widespread deforestation happened in the Bronze Age, leaving the British landscape largely, artificially, open. And what happened then, until the 19th century, was a tug of war between many forces: rock, soil and climate, wild species, humans and our crops and livestock, leading to different land uses and landscapes all across the country, each with its distinct community of plants and animals. And then, from the Industrial Revolution onwards, our own impact intensified. Through the late 19th and 20th centuries, we tore out hedges, filled in ponds, diverted rivers, eradicated countless thousands of acres of heath, chalk grassland, meadow, grazing marsh, and brecks. We killed rabbits in their millions and drove marsh harriers, bitterns and avocets from the country altogether. Landscapes and assemblages of species, which had persisted for millennia, were radically changed. One Norfolk landscape, however, little known, largely ignored, has escaped the worst of our 20th century ravagers. It is the Claylands, south of Norwich, and stretching southwards into Suffolk, almost to Ipswich. The bedrock of the Claylands, as across East Anglia, is chalk, but whereas most of Norfolk's later glacial soils are sandy, here the earlier Anglian glaciation left a plateau of crumbled chalk and heavy boulder clay. Before the introduction of modern drainage and the rise of powerful tractors and huge ploughs which have changed the face of farming, clayland soils were hard to cultivate, and as a result, the landscape developed through the Middle Ages as a hodgepodge tapestry of little fields embraced by ancient hedges, rich in trees and shrubs. Field ponds abound here too, home to water voles, great crested newts, and countless other dwindling species. Large grassy commons, likewise, with ponds and hedges, bounded by timbered medieval farms and manors, and inhabited by turtle doves and barn owls, are another feature of this timeless landscape. So too are ancient coppice woods and shallow chalky rivers, which cut the landscape into fingers. 20th century modernisation had its impact, but much of the character of the claylands remains intact. And crucially, much of the value of this ancient landscape for its wildlife has also been preserved. Enter Norfolk Wildlife Trust. Though we manage just a handful of priceless wildlife sites in South Norfolk, notably New Buckenham Common and Lower Wood at Ashwellthorpe, for more than a decade our engagement team has delivered projects in the Claylands for communities and landowners. And this autumn, funded by the Green Recovery Challenge Fund, and with support from Norfolk County Council, the People's Trust for Endangered Species, and the RSPB, we've launched our most ambitious project here to date. It's called Claylands Wilder Connections. And as its name implies, this is a project focused on connection. Now first, this means habitat connectivity, pathways and stepping stones for wildlife and its genes to flow through. Thanks to pioneering mapping by our colleagues in the geodata team at Southampton University, we can identify corridors through the claylands along which can be re-established meaningful connections for wildlife through the restoration of ponds, hedges, scrub or strips of meadow. Second, it means connection between communities and landscapes. The claylands is a landscape formed through centuries, indeed millennia, of human land use. We want communities working with landowners to be the driving force in restoring and maintaining landscape connectivity for the wildlife here. We want to equip conservation leaders with the experience to make informed decisions on land management for wildlife in the future. Well, this is a daring vision, but we've never been deterred by challenges. We hope that Claylands Wilder Connections will become the model for habitat restoration across the county, with projects everywhere in Norfolk delivered by partnerships between landowners, communities, and the NWT. For now, we have the claylands in our sights, but with community and landowner support, we'll make more space and better connected habitat for hedgehogs, for sulphur clover, for great crested newts, and countless other species across our venerable landscape.